On Friday, the Defense Department established an Office of Detainee Affairs. It's a response to criticism about treatment of detainees at Guantanamo Bay. That is one subject that came up when Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld spoke to NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams.
The U.S. military's role in Iraq is changing. The American military that won the war and continues to occupy the country is now training a new Iraqi army to eventually take over protecting Iraq. Meanwhile, as national elections approach in Iraq, U.S. forces continue to fight insurgents opposed to a new government. In the United States, Defense Secretary Rumsfeld is facing persistent questions about the cost and duration of the military effort in Iraq, as well as rumors about a possible resumption of the draft. So the first question is Secretary Rumsfeld now ready to assure Americans that there will not be a new military draft?
Juan, as you know, I'm not the government of the United States. I'm just one person. But if you ask me personally, would I rule it out? The answer is absolutely.
Now that the Iraqi interim government is operating, Mr. Secretary, can you describe for us how U.S. forces are coordinating operations with the Iraqi security forces?
What they're doing is they're fashioning a military chain of command for the Iraqi forces, and they are developing linkages with the coalition forces at the top and then down at mid and lower levels throughout the country.
Is the U.S. military taking a less visible role inside Iraq as we help to train and try to get more coalition forces involved in Iraq?
What we've been doing for many months now is we went from zero Iraqi security forces up to 206,000. As that evolved, the coalition forces began the process of conducting joint patrols first and then supplementing those with individual Iraqi patrols and activities, with the U.S. forces, coalition forces, in a supporting role. And what will happen is we'll just continue to see the weight shifted.
Are there any circumstances that you can envision that would require you to send more U.S. troops? And do you have any plans in the works as to how many might be called on?
Well, what we've done is what we should do, and that is to always plan ahead and think about that possibility. The president has said that the number of coalition troops that the military leaders out there will be the number that they believe they need. And at the present time, they are convinced that the number they have is the right number. On the other hand, the Department of Defense has to say, well, what if they come in and say they need additional forces or fewer forces, either one? We have to be cocked and ready to know what we would do. So we have a planning function that's been going on for some months now so that we do have arrangements so that if additional requirements are made, we would know what we would do. And by the same token, if we see the effectiveness of the Iraqi security forces increasing and the need for U.S. and coalition forces declining, we're also prepared to begin bringing them home.
So you don't have any specific date in mind for when you can begin bringing U.S. forces home?
No, we don't. It's calibrated to the circumstances on the ground. And if it deteriorates as we get closer to the elections, because the Baathists and the Saddamists and the former regime elements decide they've got one last chance to try to stop a free representative system from evolving in that country, then we might have to react to that. To the extent that the situation continues to calm down, as it has in the last few weeks, then over a period of time, one could look at the alternative of reducing the size of the coalition forces.
Mr. Secretary, the Department of Defense said Friday it's creating a new Office of Detainee Affairs to improve detainee operations. Why, almost 3 years after establishing the prison at Guantanamo Bay, are you now creating a new detainee office?
I guess the answer is that when one looks at 24-hour news and digital cameras and the complication of the damage that was done by the abuses that took place at Abu Ghraib, for example, the inspections that take place tended to stay down at the lower levels of the commands. Someone would do an inspection and they'd find something that was amiss and they'd report it to that level or the next level up. And there wasn't any reason for those things to come flying up to Washington, and they didn't. In this instance, it became clear that we live in a different era, and therefore we have to get at the Pentagon involved in these things at the top levels. We simply have to have a process that those things get kicked up here, and we needed an office to communicate that.
I remember that you wrote in a memo about metrics that would allow you and the entire country to judge whether or not the U.S. is winning the war on terrorism. That was about a year ago. Today, can you measure whether or not that war is being won?
Not with metrics. We are unquestionably putting a lot of pressure on the extremists who are conducting these terrorist acts around the world. We've got 90 nations, 80 to 90 nations engaged in a coalition. They're sharing intelligence. They're putting pressure on bank accounts. They're making it harder for those terrorists to recruit people and to retain them. We're making it harder for them to communicate with each other, harder for them to move between countries. So there's a lot good that's happening. There's a lot bad that's happening, too. The problem is you can't quantify that. We don't know how many people are being recruited into these schools that teach people to go out and kill innocent men, women, and children. We don't know how many people are being trained to go out and chop off people's heads and cut off their hands.
Is America safer, I guess, becomes the bottom line.
Well, there's no question but that America's safer today than it was on September 11th. Mm-hmm. Now, the reality is that a terrorist can attack at any time, at any place, using any technique, and it is physically impossible to protect every location, every minute of the day or night, against every conceivable type of attack. So there will be more terrorist acts in free countries. We just know that.
Given the difficulty of your job, do you want to serve a second term if the president asks you to do so?
Oh, you know, that's a question that's a tough one. My family has been in this past week. I got three children and six of my seven grandchildren were here, and I got asked that question. And it's a tough one because clearly it is a tough job. On the other hand, it's a wonderful thing to be able to work with the talented people in the Department of Defense, the men and women in uniform and their families who are so supportive of them and doing something that is so terribly important to our country.
So would you stay?
As you know, we serve at the pleasure of the president, and you're quite right, I also have a choice in it. And wasn't it that wonderful former governor of Illinois, Adlai Stevenson, said, he said, I'll jump off that bridge when I get to it?
Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld, thank you so much, Mr. Secretary.
Thank you, Juan.